You know, the Lord seemed to really inspire me early this morning before service with this. And it's just been with me all day. So I trust that all of us will get some good out of it. I feel like I need it even my own self. So I think it's something that we know that we must do every day. But maybe can give us some challenges this evening. Whatever the Lord wants, I'm not sure exactly what the Lord wants, but I know that He wants this. He wants us to be challenged to pray and read. And I put prayer first. Usually people will say read and pray, but I felt like prayer was more important because there's sometimes we can't read. It's like sometimes we can't see one another, but we can talk to one another. Or we can text one another. So prayer is like that. I mean, sometimes we can't read the Bible, but we can pray anytime, anywhere. We can pray driving the car. You know, we can pray on our knees, walking, standing. Wherever we are, we can pray. There's no excuse for a lack of prayer because we are in touch with God all the time. We're going to get the scripture about pray without ceasing. You know that there was a little meeting one time and this sister and different ones were at the church having a meeting. I don't know if this was just a story or really true. I think it was really true. But they were trying to find out how we could pray without ceasing. That just seemed like something. How could someone do that with all the work we have to do and all the things we've got to do? How could we pray without ceasing? And this little sister said, well, when I'm sweeping the floor, I thank the Lord for sweeping my sins away. Or when I'm mopping the floor, washing my sins away. Or when I'm doing the dishes, whatever I'm doing, I can think of something to say to God. And, you know, when whatever we're doing, we can thank the Lord. And there's something about praise. When we pray, you know, prayer is like praise. And I know lots of times we think, well, prayer, and we ask God for petitions. But you know, really the first thing we need to do is really be thankful. And we need to thank God first because that's what He said in His Word to do. To be thankful first and then humbly ask for our petitions. And you know, it's not like we're telling God to do this and that because you know what? God will only do what He wants to do, really. But we humbly ask for our petitions and we humbly see it our way. But you know, we always say, Lord willing, whatever your will is, Lord, because you know, there's sometimes we want things and it's really not the Lord's will. So we have to humbly ask for our petitions. The first scripture I'd like to read in Deuteronomy 6, and please pray that the Lord would give us just what we want. I want to feel inspired. I prayed again before service and the Lord just seemed to meet me so sweetly. And you know, there's sometimes you pray and it may feel like your prayer didn't go above the ceiling of the house or whatever. But you know, we got to believe that every time we pray, God hears us. And it doesn't matter. Our feelings can go up and down, but you know, that doesn't really matter how our feelings go. We have to have faith that God hears our prayers. Whether we feel like He heard it or not, we know He heard it. And it kind of went along with Brother Phillip's message this morning, I thought, because he said God was thinking of us. And it seemed like the Lord talked to me after service too, and He said, well, you know, yes, I'm thinking of you, but how often do you think of me? And I want you to think of me. You know, and we know that God's thinking about us and He's watching for us and He's waiting for us to pray. And He's waiting for us to want to talk to Him. Have you ever really got so desperate you just, I need to pray and I need to get away from all distractions. And you know, when the Bible says go to the closet, and I may quote some scriptures, not have them all written down, but you know, it came to mind, go to that closet of prayer. And we know that that's not really like a literal closet. It could be. I know someone one time that got in a closet because they wanted to literally find God and pray. They just wanted to get in the closet and they prayed and they got a hold of the Lord. But your closet is wherever you can get alone with God. Take the opportunity. Sometimes maybe there's a house full of people and maybe they all leave and you're all left alone. And you ought to think, well, you know, this is a good time for me to get in my closet. It's a good time for me to pray. Will you have maybe a window, maybe an hour where you're all alone, or 2 hours where you're all alone, and maybe nothing else is distracting you right then. You went, this is a good time for me to take this opportunity to pray to God. Or maybe you're sitting in the car waiting on somebody. You know, and we get so impatient if we let ourselves, but we have to pray to Jesus to help us not to be impatient. But we can be in a car and we can think, oh, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. And then the Lord said, no, stop that. You can wait. And this will be a good opportunity for you to pray. Amen. See? And so we seize these opportunities. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know, in the Old Testament, those frontlets were scriptures. They thought they had to have these around their, a band around their forehead and these scriptures. But, you know, spiritually, we have the scriptures in here, in our mind. And we have the scriptures in our heart. He said he would write the law in our heart and in our mind. And he wants us to teach. I wrote down what I got out of this verse was teach, talk, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you rise up, constantly instruct, read and pray, pray and talk, pray and walk, always, constantly. It came to my mind, one of my grandchildren, when they were small, I had them in my arms and we were outdoors and they looked up and they said, ball, ball. It was the moon. It was out. And I don't know how much they could understand right then, but I began to say, honey, that is a moon. That is something God made. God made that moon. That is a moon. It's not a ball. It looks like a ball, but it is a moon. It's God made that. And this is what I say, that there's things that come up in our everyday life. You know, that's an example that we can say, you know, God did that. Beautiful flowers. Well, child, who made those flowers? God made those flowers. Aren't they beautiful? Don't you love Jesus? And you just constantly, as you go through your everyday life, you live, you walk, you talk about God to your children. And you teach them daily all the wonderful things about God. And one of the examples that came to my mind, I wept about it this afternoon, late afternoon. I was praying about this, and the Lord brought to my mind Grandma. It was Jerry's grandmother, but she was like my grandma. Fleshly, she wasn't my grandma, but by marriage. But Grandma Wilkins was like my real grandma. I got saved in her home. She was my mentor about God. She taught me about God. She taught me about scriptures. She taught me about faith. And you know the strongest memory that I have of Grandma is sitting in her chair, and she was blind, and she was just praying. And she'd have her back door unlocked, and I'd walk in quietly sometimes, and Grandma would be sitting in her chair praying and praying and praying. She was a praying woman. And in my mind, I can see her praying. And you know, sometimes we think, well, what effect? Does that affect our children? Does that affect our grandchildren? Another thing, she saved her money and bought every one of her grandchildren, she had quite a big family, a Bible, individually. And her favorite thing, as we have it at home, she wrote on there, love you oh so much. Love you all so much. But she wanted to leave the scriptures with her grandchildren. No matter if they were saved or not saved, they got a Bible. And, you know, she was a woman of faith, and she left me those things. And I just want to encourage you today to be that. Be that man of God or be that woman of God to leave behind to your children and grandchildren these things. The Lord commanded for us to walk and talk all the time about God. Teach them and pray for them. But I really think that this means something here. This really means something to God, that He wants us to do this. Daniel 6 and 10 is a very familiar scripture, but I wanted to read just a little bit about that. Daniel, you know, Daniel, they could not find any fault in Daniel except his praying to God, his worshiping God. He prayed morning, noon, and night. He prayed and he worshiped God. And so they, you know the story. I'm just going to kind of mention a few things about that. But you know, they thought, this is how we're going to trip him up. This is how we're going to get him, because we're going to have this king make a law that you cannot bow or pray to anyone except the king. You cannot pray to God, the true God. And so this is what they said in the sixth chapter. I'll read a little bit of this. And it says, we shall not find in the fifth verse any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so they said, King, we want you to put a royal statute and to make a firm decree in the seventh verse that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So now a king established the decree and signed the writing. And the 10th verse, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, his chamber toward Jerusalem, and kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now you notice there that he opened his windows just like he did before. There probably is a great temptation to Daniel to think, well, I could shut the windows and I could get, you know, not be heard so much, you know, pray. But he did just what he did before, because he knew he was going to pray. Just not going to take prayer away from me, no matter if you put me in a den of lions. But we know what happened to Daniel. He prayed. He was faithful to God. And when he was put in this den of lions, what happened? The angel of the Lord came. God sent the angel of the Lord and stayed. Those lions, those hungry lions, could not eat him or touch him. And even the king was troubled and couldn't rest all night. And when he came, he said, Daniel! And he said, oh, king, live forever. My God, whom I serve continually, has came and shut the lion's mouth. And I thought, what is it about? How important is prayer, dear ones? If we pray like that and we stay to God and we serve God continually, any kind of problem that would come up, do you think that God will help us? You think that God will help us? Now, if some kind of problem comes up, we don't want to say, you know, oh, well, I haven't been praying and reading like I should, so I better go do that first. Wait, I better go do it because I haven't been keeping up to date, and now here's this big, huge problem. And I don't feel like I'm really close to God. We need to keep close to God all the time. So when the emergency comes up, we can get a hold of God. We don't know when something's going to come up. And we're going to be asked for help. We need to seek the Lord all the time and be ready. We don't know when we're going to really, really need God. And we can say, you know what? We've been praying to you, Lord, morning, noon, and night, just like Daniel. We've been praying and seeking you and reading and doing what we can do to keep close to you, Lord. Please hear our prayers. We know that story. I'm going to turn over to Luke. Luke 11. It says, teach us to pray. It says, came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I want to say here too that the Lord Jesus Christ, we just had Easter, He died on the cross that we could be saved. He rose again. He was the Son of God. But He did not lack prayer. He went away from the multitudes and got by Himself and prayed. He sought the Lord. Every one of us can pray more, including me. I'm pointing at myself too. We all can be encouraged to pray more because prayer will bring down answers. And prayer will help us. Prayer will help us inside. There's something about confidence in yourself. You know what I'm trying to say? You got to know you're saved. You got to know you're sanctified. You got to know you're close to God. You got to know you're praying. You got to know you're studying because this is a bulwark. This is a strong defense against the enemy. And then when people come to the altar and they need prayer, you can go up there with confidence to pray for them. Or, you know, any emergency comes up with your child or anything, you can pray to God because you've been close to Him. And Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us how to get a hold of You, dear Lord. And help us to pray when sometimes it just even feel like we don't feel anything. There's been so many times that I pray and I didn't feel anything. And then all of a sudden, it's just like God surprises us, you know. We pray and all of a sudden, and don't be ashamed of tears, you know. I mean, I know when you're ministering, you wouldn't understand me very well if I was just crying the whole time. But what I'm trying to say is in our closet of prayer in different times, don't be ashamed of tears. Let the tears flow. Let the tears get a hold of God. If that breaks up the fallow ground, men and women alike, if that breaks up your heart and humbles your heart, let the tears go and pray to God. I like to see when I'm praying with someone at the altar, when they're just not, you know, just kind of praying, but they're praying and the tears are coming and they mean business and they're praying to God. I'm not saying you always have to cry, but you know, they're serious. They're wanting to get a hold of the Lord. And so we need to be, oh God, I love it when God meets us in prayer and the tears go and I feel God's presence and I, sometimes you think, well, what did I say right? I don't know, Lord, what did I do this time? You know, well, maybe it wasn't that you did anything just right. But it's because God just chooses to bless you and encourage you and strengthen you and give you what you need. We all need that time with God. We need a relationship with God. We need our own personal relationship with God, that God will be with us all the time, every day, no matter where we're at, that God is with us. That God is with us and that God is hearing us. Teach us to pray. And then they said the Lord's Prayer here. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, dear ones, I want to say today that there's sometimes we're going to have real importunity about things. Not just pray and let it go for a while, but really pray and focus. Seem like the Lord has brought to me this way. There is priority things. And sometimes there's a priority that we should be praying about. And at that hour, okay, let's say, for instance, we're getting ready to go to service. There's lots of things we could be praying about, but the priority is we need to be praying for that service. Wherever service that might be, here or somewhere else. If we're going to service, we need praying whoever would minister, that the Lord would bless that minister, whoever would, the songs would be led of the Spirit. We should be praying. It seemed like the Lord has inspired me that way to really be prioritize your prayers. When we're in service and we take prayer requests and we pray, That is not the time for us to be praying about our personal issues or things like that. We need to be in the hour of prayer for these requests and for the service. So there's wisdom in prayer. And there's personal prayers that we have unspoken requests, don't we? So there's things that we gotta pray about that no one else knows about, but God and us. But we can pray and God will hear our prayers. Importunity. It says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know what? We can say right in this congregation, there's seekers, there's people that ask, there's people that seek, and there's people that knock. And there's people that had found some things. Do you know why I know that? Because we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be saved if we haven't learned to ask, if we haven't learned to seek, and we haven't learned to knock, and we haven't learned to find. Because when we're doing those things, we can't backslide. Now I know we don't teach that you can't backslide. I'm not saying that. But if you keep close to God and you're praying and reading, you've got a strong bulwark there. You won't be backsliding. People that backslide, stop this. They're not doing so much of this. You know, it says prayer one day, was it one day, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, they say. That's the saying. One day without prayer makes us weak, okay? We can't miss one day. We can't miss, which is why I didn't have time. You've got to take time to pray, okay? You got to take time to pray. You got to take time to read. Now, reading. Sometimes I know we have more time to read. There's times I have a lot of time where I read a whole lot, and I like to get books and old books with my Bible and old spiritual good truth books and Jerry, somehow we got a stack from Brother out in Louisiana, Brother Nelson. Anyway, he's got the different ones like Rays of Hope and different books that the Faith Publishing House had that we can still get off the computer. But if you don't have, look at that paper. If you don't have some of those books, if some of those look interesting to you, get some of those books and add it with your reading and praying. And we just want to encourage us tonight let's dig. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's step out into the water. You know, Brother Philip mentioned about Fanny Crosby this morning, and I have been studying that songbook because I've got two songbooks. It's 101 hymn stories and the stories behind the songs. And it's how you learn who wrote the song, why they wrote it, what inspired them. And I was amazed to know that she wrote 8,000 to 9,000 songs. Can you imagine? Now you imagine 100 songs. And then you imagine 1,000 songs, but 8,000? And she lived way up to, I think, about 95 years old. She was up in her 90s. And I won't say what, but she was not, besides being blind, she had some problems. She had some serious problems in her life. I'm the outward, not her. But what I'm trying to say is, I would say to the Lord, Lord, she wrote 8,000 songs. It's kind of like, wow, that's amazing. You know what the Lord spoke to me? That she was blind. She was blind. So, you know, that's fine. It was a gift of God. He added this as a blessing to her. She had more time to focus. She couldn't see all these things to get entangled in. You know? She couldn't see all those things. So her spiritual life was so focused into God and spiritual things that these songs and hymns were born just constantly flowing out of her life. Oh, Lord, help us to stir ourselves. You know, I thought about doing this, but I thought, well, I don't really need to do that. But, you know, if you take a pitcher of water, just to kind of imagine as an object lesson, and say you're making lemonade and you put lemons in there, real lemons and juice and sugar or water or whatever you want to do. How do you make your lemonade? What do you have to do to really make that good? You have to take a deep spoon and stir it. And the Lord spoke to me and says, you need to stir yourself and the saints need to stir themselves. We need to stir ourselves. I hope I can include you in that. that we can stir ourselves. We have to stir ourselves. And then the Lord spoke to me and says, you're living in a sleepy time. And I thought, what? The Lord said, you're living in a sleepy time. It says, they all slumbered and slept. They were all virgins. They were all saved people. But they were slumbering. And the Lord said, the only way that you can survive this is you've got to stir yourself. And you've got to pray and read. I said, well, I know that's something we know we got to do. But the Lord spoke to me, you've got to do more of it. You've got to stir yourself. You've got to make time for this more and more. And you know, the more you do that, the more blessings will come. The more you stir yourself, the more it will flow out. We got to flow out to one another. And we have to fill ourselves. It says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Fill this desire in me, Lord. One of my favorite scriptures in Matthew 5, it says, hunger and thirst, one of the Beatitudes, hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we were first saved, we were so hungry and thirsty after righteousness. I said, Lord, I want to keep that in my heart. Keep that in my heart. Help me not to lose my first love. I was 18 years old when I got saved, and I hungered and thirsted after righteousness. I wanted to know. I wanted to know the truths of the Bible. I wanted to know the right understanding of the scriptures. I was so hungry and thirsty that Jerry and I sometimes would stay at grandmother's on a Saturday night. Do you know what we were doing? Reading and praying. Listening to grandma. Maybe we weren't reading so much. She was reading. But we were praying in our hearts. And we were praying. And she would teach us about faith in God. Sometime to, I don't think I'm exaggerating. Was it like maybe 1 or 2 in the morning? We'd be going home late at night. Because grandma would teach us. Here I was 18, 19 years old, and my friend, one of my best friends, was in their 70s. And we say, well, there's a generation gap. You know what? You can be fruitful in your old age. And grandma said that was her prayer. She prayed she could be fruitful in her old age. And we were saved in her home. And grandma helped me to see the vision of the church. Yes, she was like my minister, like my, you know. Yeah, she was my mentor. And she helped me. She taught me every time we went anywhere. I'd take her to the grocery store. I drove her places. She would teach me about God. She took me to make my wrongs right. And I'm all saying this. She was teaching me to pray and read. She taught me the importance of praying and reading. And she taught me that was something we had to do. And I remember I drove her around. I made my wrongs right and this day. And when I got done, I remember I've told the story before, but I had just got married. I just got saved. And like I said, I wasn't raised with the saints and I had a wedding ring on, but I had measured up everywhere else. My dresses, everything, makeup, took it all off. I measured up everything, but I still had this little ring. It meant so much to me because I just got married. But grandma says, honey, the jewelry's got to go too. The ring will have to go too after I made my wrongs right. And I remember I was driving the car and I just stiffened up. I just stiffened up a little bit. And I know I knew enough that you said, you know, I don't have the light. And I said, grandma, I don't have the light yet. And I remember her answer. She said, well, you will, honey, you will. And I'm so glad, and I want to tell this story. I know I told it before, but it was so sweet. Brother Humphrey, he's dead and gone. They meant so much to me because they would come to Michigan. And we don't know the fruit that we give to somebody else in our lives. He traveled many miles from Kentucky and came there and ministered to us. And he preached on jewelry and costly array. And I didn't even have my ring on because my hand had broke out from dish liquid. But God told me that night, this is the light, you get rid of it. And I remember I stood up and testified, and the devil, he told me, if you tell the saints you have light in that, you'll never be able to wear it again. And I said, I know, and I'm going to tell them. And I got up, and you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's right there where I got the victory. And you know, I never forgot how God dealt with me and gave me light. And he taught me all along that praying and reading is so important. That you have to do it. It's your lifeline. It's your lifeline, your Christian lifeline to heaven. You want to stay saved? It's a fortress, isn't it, Sister Charlotte? It is a fortress against the enemy. I heard you during prayer, praying about prayer. It's a fortress against the enemy. When you pray and read, and you know it's a fortress for our church, it's a fortress for our revivals, I read one time about that there was a revival that broke out and they couldn't understand how powerful revival, and people were getting saved and people were getting blessed, and come to find out there was three little ladies meeting together for weeks, praying for a revival, just specially praying for a revival. I don't think they were praying for anything else, but they prioritized. They were praying that God would send a revival. And they found out later that these three ladies were meeting and praying about that. And God sent it. What about us? We can start praying that God will send a great blessing at Monarch. Or our May meeting, you know, I mean, start now. Praying and write it down on paper. You know, the enemy sometimes wants us to forget. But we could write it on a piece of paper somewhere where we'll see it. You know, many times I have a little Bible promise box that's on my dresser. I get so much good out of that. I mean, I'll ask the Lord to give me something and I'll just get a little scripture and maybe several times a day. And it'll be a little Bible verse and there's a little saying on the back. And I get so much good out of that. But whatever it takes, dear ones, whatever it takes to incorporate more scriptures in our life, write them, tape them on your car, or tape them on your refrigerator, or tape it somewhere. Maybe you want to memorize a verse of scripture. And maybe you can just write it and tape it somewhere and quote it several times so you've memorized that scripture. There's just so many ways we can incorporate more reading and praying. You know, there's so many good old books that we ought to be digging into. I miss that. I've got to get back at doing that. I was doing that the other day. I was studying the stories behind hymns along with my Bible. I know the Bible's number one. But there's a lot of good old books that we need. We need to get out and study and find out and take our verses and find out what these scriptures mean, what these words mean, and reading goes along with praying. And do more of this and inspire. I just want to inspire you to make it interesting to yourself, you know. Maybe what interests you? I mean, there's every one of us a little bit different, you know, but there's a book about Mary. There's a book, I believe I read that a long time ago, and there's a book about how she got saved in her, you know, and tells her life story. But anyway, there's just so many things that we can, you know, just go after. And you know, I'm not going to preach so much about the phone because I enjoy the phone. I mean, I enjoy the text where I can text my family and when I can't talk to them and they're busy and or I'm busy. I enjoy that part. But it seemed like the Lord's been talking to me, like when I get up in the morning, instead of going after that phone and seeing who texts me, to put him first. Now, I'm not putting that on you. I'm just saying the Lord dealt with me. And I'm not saying I never would grab that phone. But I'm working on, even, you know, I know we look at the phone and we put it up and then we go to the Lord. And, you know, I'm not trying to put anyone under bondage. I'm just saying the Lord just said, you know, you don't need the phone. You don't need the phone right now. Just go to me and pray and spend some time with me. And I just want the Lord to know that he's more important than anything. He's more important than my phone. He's more important than other things. I want to talk to you, God. You let me wake up another day. You gave me a good night's rest. I want to talk to you and tell you how much I love you. You know, I said there, I don't have the verse right now, but it says he will hear our voice in the morning. Don't you want the Lord to hear your voice in the morning? When you first open your eyes, I know I was praying with some different ones during the meeting, and they were saying, this is a struggle for me to pray. And I said, can you give me any tips of how to pray more? And I said, well, there's one thing that I've been doing, and I said, I pray more, of course, than that. But when I first open my eyes, I start praying. I just start, Lord, thank you for letting me. You know how when you first wake up, I don't know about you, but I guess you're like me because you're human. And, you know, it takes a little while to kind of wake up, doesn't it? Kind of get going. It just does. I mean, you're woke from slumber and you've been so tired and you were sound, unconscious, right? In sleep. And now you got to wake up and start moving around and doing your work or whatever. But just to lay there a few minutes and just start praying and say, Lord, thank you that you gave me a good night rest, and will you please bless this day? And I'm not saying that's all you're going to do the whole day of prayer, but just kind of start praying and start acknowledging God. And I'm not saying you don't have to do this. This is up to you. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me to do. And I've been doing it and I enjoy it. There's a song that says, still with thee when purple morning waketh. You know that song? It's so beautiful. Oh, still with thee when purple morning waketh. That I'm still with you. You know, this sister wrote that. It's so beautiful. But anyway, and then later we spend more time and more time whenever we have. But I think it's a good thing for us to think about God and pray and read. And I just hope that this inspires you some. Find, knock, seek, open, all these things. Importunity, don't give up. Don't give up praying about something. If you need something in your life, every one of us has some different things that we need. If we need it, pray. Don't give up, because the Lord answers prayer. And we know, we all know here how God has answered our prayers. We know how God has worked. Even at this altar, many have been healed. God has healed people at this altar. God has heard prayer. Brother Philip was healed of a sleep problem he had there. And I know others have been healed, and Haley was healed here. She couldn't eat anything with tomato ketchup, anything to do with tomatoes, or that they put sauce on pizza or anything like that. And she was just a little girl, about 10 years old or 11. And the ministers prayed for her that she could go eat lunch because they had spaghetti or pizza or something like that. And she was afraid to eat it. She would break out terrible. And this had been going on for quite a long time. And she wouldn't go in there to eat it. And we had prayer, and we prayed the Lord would heal her and let her go eat. She went and ate and never has broke out since. God healed her right here. God is with us. Yes, he is. He's with us. And he hears our prayers. And I praise him tonight for all the times that he's heard our prayers. And he is still the great God I am. And he's going to help us. And I want to stay real close to him, and I want to just do whatever the Lord wants us to do. We want to turn over Philippians 4 and 6. 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I believe this is very important, the way we pray to God. That we do thank him a lot. You know, and there's sometimes we could just be going around the house and we could just, I mean, before service, you know what? I got thinking about Grandma and I got thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you brought me to Jerry's family. Thank you. There I was, 18, I didn't know anything about the Church of God. I didn't know anything about the true way. And God, thank you for bringing me to Jerry and his family that knew the truth. And I just started thanking God. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to get over this. I want to thank you for being merciful to me. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for letting me be saved. Thank you for putting that desire in my heart. You know, I was going to say one day in Michigan before I met the saints as a whole, okay, I'd met Jerry's family. I'm not going to go into details, but I felt like the Lord told me to share a little bit. One day, the enemy came in like a flood. Now, we were preaching tonight about prayer. Prayer It says, the enemy walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Brother Philip mentioned him. He tries to sift us. Peter, remember what Jesus said? Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Do you think God's praying for us that our faith won't fail? I believe he is. He's praying for us, saints, that our faith won't fail. That in this wicked world we're in, that we'll continue to be faithful, saints, and our faith won't fail. And the devil's like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. One day he came in like a flood in Michigan. I was, like I said, I was probably still 18 because we had just got married. And the devil just spoke to me so strong. You do not want that way, that his way. This is his family. You have married into this family, and this is Jerry's family, and they're brainwashing you. It's not what you want. You want to be like you used to be. I mean, the devil was working on me. I had never been to Monarch. I had never seen any saints. All I'd seen was his family. And the devil was using that against me. I was really saved. And he tempted me so strong that day to backslide. And you know what saved my life? My spiritual life? I said, Jerry, take me to your mother's house and let me pray. I got to get some help. And I bowed down. I said, Lord, I want to stay saved. I don't want to backslide. This is more than just his family. I've been born again. I said, I've got a hold of God now. Don't let the devil do this to me. The devil's trying to get me back. I don't want to go back. I want to stay saved, God. I prayed until the answer came. God flooded my soul and rebuked the devil. And I felt like I should share that. The Lord came in and rescued me again. This all happened in one day, a few hours. The devil tried to get me back. So you know what? As we look at one another, when we see God in one another and see how God has worked with one another, you know what? This is not a small thing. The enemy of souls is against us, but prayer is our fortress. Prayer and reading and thanking the Lord. James 5 and 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. It talks more about, you know, the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. I'll read up above that a little bit. Is any man among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's why we do that. We obey the scripture. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, you know, dear saints and ministers especially, but all of us, we got to have the prayer of faith. We got to be living close to God so we can have the prayer of faith when people are sick to pray over them. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Wasn't that amazing? 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain because this man of God prayed it wouldn't rain. God led him to pray that way, of course. But God worked with him. And you know, we're his children. He prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. So, you know, what he's trying to say is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here's an example. Now, we just don't go pray that it doesn't rain for no purpose or pray it'll rain. You know, this was something led of God. But what we're trying to say here is how God worked with them. How God worked with Moses going through the Red Sea when God said, you put forth your rod and the water's going to be parted, and the water's parts. And not only that, should have been muddy sand or muddy dirt that they walked on. It was dry ground. And God done powerful things with them, and they were, because they were God's people. And how God's doing powerful things for us, because we're God's people. We're just not a church among churches, but we are the church of God. We are people that are saved and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us. He said the Spirit would be in you. And this is powerful. Powerful news now. This is powerful. And it's powerful all because of the blood of Jesus. And I just thank the Lord for that. Oh, I thank the Lord for his righteousness. I'm going to end with this scripture in Proverbs 15:29. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now we know that if the wicked turn from their ways, God will be near them too. But he's not for wicked people that don't want him and don't want God. He's not for them. But he said he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The Lord's ears are open unto us, to the prayers of the righteous. We just hope this encourages you a little bit more to make prayer and reading more enjoyable, you know, kind of dig a little deeper maybe. I don't know exactly why the Lord gave it to us, but I know that he gave it for me, and I know I can share with you, because we can all. Oh, yes, thank you for telling me that. I forgot. Edgar Meyer's Bible. I thought about bringing in Elsie Edgar Meyer's Bible storybook. We have a couple of them, at least, I think. We have three or four, but we have the original. It's kind of tattered and worn, the book is. But this lady was one of the saints in Shawnee. She lived in Shawnee. And it said copyrighted back in 1938. She was inspired to take the Bible and write it, the stories where children could understand better. It's so good, though. She did a lot of work on that, a lot of research. And Jerry and I, you know, we're not too above a Bible story. So we read the Bible story book together, and we enjoy it. And one thing I might leave with you, just recently we read about the King Josiah. He was about 8 years old or something when he actually became king. Of course, the older men had to do the important things at then because he was so young. But when the temple, he saw that the temple, he loved God. He was a man, a king after God's own heart. He wanted to serve God. He would pray to God. And he saw when the temple, they had actually took idols and brought into God's temple. And he said, when he got older, he was able to tell, he said, take them out of the city. And they took the idols out of the temple and out of the city and have them burned. And he said, now we're going to learn how to worship God, one true God. And they began to look in there, and they dug under the rubbish, and they found a book. This book was the book of the law that Moses had written with his own hand. And it was under this rubbish. Oh, it's awful. And they dusted it off, and they took it to the King Josiah, and he had never read the law. And he read it, and then he read that if you obey God, he'll send great blessings, and if you don't, you'll be punished, and it scared him. And he just went in sackcloth and ashes, and he said, you know, he said he wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to teach his people to serve the Lord. And he did till he died. And they mourned greatly when he died because they said the other kings would not love God's law like that. And I know that we don't have... How can I say it? I know that, you know, this book was under rubbish. And I know that our Bibles are not under rubbish. But spiritually speaking, I wonder sometimes if cares of this life and things can get, in our reading and praying, can be kind of like rubbish. You know what I mean? That it's getting in the place of God's Bible. It's getting there's a song that says, take dust off the Bible. Is there dust on the Bible? Take dust. I've got an old Bible here. I got me a new Bible cover because mother was getting dirty. But I like my old Bible. But, you know, dust on the Bible says, take the dust off the Bible. I don't know. I just hope this encourages somebody here tonight. Pray for me. I want to draw closer to the Lord.